This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
It's such a joy to be here. My name is Andrew, as was mentioned. My beautiful wife, Joyce, and our three children. Sean, give us a wave. Oh, as you can tell, he's got the gift as well. Hallelujah. And Abigail, she's just so beautiful. Her name means her father's joy, and that she is. And Evan as well, such a champion. Hey, buddy. And so we're so honored to be here. Thank you to Pastor Jason and the team for having us here. Thank you for your generosity, those of you that sowed into that missions offering. That will be a huge blessing to the work that we're doing around the world. My wife and I live just down the road in Mount Evelyn. This kind of area is very much home. My uncle has the Brussels sprout farm in Coldstream, if you know that one, Adams Farms. And it's nice to be here in Dutch country. I realise that if you're not Dutch, you're not much. And so you have to accept me as a humble descendant of Scotland. Please forgive me. I don't have any tulips or clogs on me, and I apologise for that. But I do have a kilt, if you'd like to see it. No, we'll leave that. We'll leave that at home. I'd love us to pray. Is that all right? Yes. Yeah. Father, we're so thankful for this time together. We pray you'd lead and guide us. Oh, Lord God, we long to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So have your way today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There really are some wonderful things happening in this region. I absolutely believe it. And I heard last Sunday night when a few of the churches came together down in Lilydale that it was quite a powerful night. And I really believe that unity is really on the heart of the Lord for our region. Sondi read out that verse, Deuteronomy 11:11. That's our church kind of verse. It's the thing that we keep declaring over the Yarra Valley. And I go to a church called The Sanctuary. But it's so fun. Even today, I'm seeing faces from other churches that I know, different people that I've met over the years. And we all have kind of, we're all here today for whatever reason. And I really believe that unity is so important. One of the things that I think the eastern suburbs of Melbourne is famous for is church drifting, or whatever you want to call it. We go to a church for a little while, and we go to the next church for a little while. So it's fun for me as I go around and preach. I'm like, oh, I've seen you. You were at that, and now you're here, and then you're there. And okay, awesome. I think the most important thing is that we're all under the cross, that we keep a sweet spirit between one another, and that we're going after the same things. When we were doing the words before, I actually saw the gentleman here on the back of his jumper. It says Tribes United, and I really do believe the Lord wants unity in the tribe, unity across the body. That's not being the same, but it is wanting the same thing, to see his kingdom come and his will be done. And so I'm really honored to be here as a local from Mount Evelyn, just to come and to share a little bit of what the Lord has on my heart. I asked the Lord what he wanted me to share, and he took me to Matthew 25, and we're going to go there in a minute. But before we go there, can I share a few stories with you? I thought we could have a bit of fun. I'm 35 years old, and I'm the son of a missionary family. My parents were so poor at times, we would stop on the side of the road to get the roadkill to feed our dogs because we couldn't afford dog food. And I can't tell you how many blueberry pies I've had from blueberries on the side of the road as well. But my parents always taught me one thing, that it's all about the kingdom, that everything is about him, that we give our all for him. When we choose to follow him, it's not one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. It's all in. We jump all in. And they run an incredible ministry in Indonesia now, and they see over 10,000 people every year at their hospital. They've seen thousands and thousands of salvations. And sometimes we just have to persevere. We persevere through the lack, and we persevere through the blessing as well, because sometimes we can have so much that it's actually not always a blessing, if that makes sense. We can get a little distracted by the things of the world. So I want to share some stories about what the Lord has done in and through my wife and I, but let me set the scene. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And he said to them, this is Jesus to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And I want to encourage you this morning that the Lord is sending laborers out into the harvest. And we are seeing mighty, mighty, mighty miracles. I could show you on my phone text messages from evangelists from all around the world that are seeing salvations like I'd never heard of before. I work with a ministry called Christ for All Nations. You may have heard of evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, now evangelist Daniel Kalenda. And we're actually raising up together an army of evangelists. The vision is to raise up 20,000 evangelists over 10 years and to see 150 million souls saved just in the next decade. It's called the Decade of Double Harvest because Christ for All Nations so far has seen 84 million documented decisions for Jesus. When this vision was birthed, we were at 75. And evangelist Daniel really felt that the Lord was saying, go after 150 in the next 10 years. Double the harvest in one decade. And so we're doing that. We're seeing incredible things. I've just got a few photos, a few videos. It's funny, growing up, I remember the visiting missionary would come to the church and we'd have Mission Sunday and he'd wear his African gear and I'd be like, oh my gosh, here we go again. And this is my cousin, and this is Bob, and he lives there, and now I'm that weird missionary. Hallelujah. All right, so bear with me. I pray that it would inspire you. We'll just go through those photos and videos. So, I recently got back from Nigeria, where we preach the gospel market to market, town to town, village to village, and school to school. And we were a team of 83. We saw 237,000 decisions for Jesus in just 3 weeks of preaching. And you've got to understand, people say, that's nice, good numbers, whatever. No, these are documented decisions for Jesus. We never count a decision for Jesus unless they give us all their contact details and they're followed up by a local church. We don't count a decision unless they get follow-up material right there and then. And even when we preach in a large setting where it's harder to estimate, harder to grab everyone's details, we never count more than 70% of the crowd that lifts their hands, just for integrity's sake. So CFAN's very careful to not be evangelistic, if you know what I mean. So we saw 237,000 documented decisions for Jesus in just 3 weeks. You can just keep rolling through. So that was preaching on the back of a truck. This is a Muslim-owned school. So we came in, we asked for permission to preach in the school. The lady said, oh, look, I don't like your chances. The owner's a Muslim. It's a private school. Well, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And the next thing you know, sir, you've got permission. And we preached the gospel there. And we saw nearly every single one of those young people make a decision for Jesus. Multiple times when we'd be preaching the gospel, I would see people take their hijabs off, put them in their bag and walk home with their follow-up material to go and read that book and to get to know Jesus. It was wild. Next one there. Look at these kids. So for those of you that invested in today to the missions offering, I'm about to go to Kenya. I'm taking a team of 12. And we have estimated that we will preach to over 300,000 young people in just 3 weeks. And we'll see over 200,000 documented decisions for Jesus. 70% of people make a decision for God between the age of 4 and 14. 70% of decisions across the globe, this is what the research says, are between the age of 4 and 14. And so I want to thank you. We're going to have a very fruitful trip. And I literally could not do it. When I said yes to this trip, to leading 12 over to Kenya, we're $1,000 in debt. And so we cannot do this without people saying, hey, we're in, we'll partner with you. So I thank you so much. Next one there. This was a school, little school we preached at in Nigeria. There's my friend John. He's also an evangelist with Christ for All Nations. And you know, we pulled into this school and the principal said, sir, most of the students have gone home. You'll be wasting your time. And I said, no, we've got enough time to do one more school. I can do this. Let me grab the kids that are waiting around for their parents to pick them up, and I'll go through the gospel with them. And so we go through the gospel with these kids, and they all made decisions for the Lord. And when we do this gospel presentation, I share a story of a little boy with a little boat and how the boat is swept away. And just like you and I, we're swept away by sin. But God buys us back. It's this beautiful story. And in the story, I had to grab something to be my boat. So if I was here, I might say, so there was this little boy and he had a boat and he made this boat and he loved this boat. And I'd use something, you know, as an illustration. Well, while I was in this school, I went over to the side and I noticed that there was a lid, a container, like a Tupperware container lid on the ground. I thought that'll be perfect as my boat illustration. I want you to see this lid right here. Bring up that next one, please. How are we going? Nope. Is there... maybe keep going. Somehow I might have been missed. Next one. That's all right. If you can't bring it up, did you like that? I was just building to this beautiful moment. And then I'll tell you what was on the lid, okay? It was a Tupperware container lid, and on the lid was a kangaroo. I'm out in the middle of Nigeria, and I say, I'm going to need something to be my boat. I look down in the ground and I pick up a kangaroo. And I felt the Lord say to me, Andrew, thank you for stopping for these kids. It was like, I call them kisses from heaven. It was like the Lord just, I mean, what the heck is a kangaroo doing in Ibadan, Nigeria? It was mind-blowing. It was mind-blowing. All right, we can go back to that. The other images. Don't worry about it. We'll just keep rolling for the sake of time. So just pull up the rest of the images if we can. Oh, there it is. There you go. There's the kangaroo lid. I couldn't believe it. I mean, and the funny thing is, and my team could testify to this, at the beginning of the presentation, I'd never done this. We do the same presentation at every school. I said, hi, everyone. My name's Andrew. I'm from Australia. Do you know what we have in Australia? Kangaroos. I'd never done it before in over 100 presentations. I said, kangaroos, can we all jump like a kangaroo? 2 minutes later, I'm holding a kangaroo in my hand. I nearly fell over. And it was like the Lord just said, Andrew, thank you. Thank you for going. Look at these precious children making a decision for the Lord. We preach a crystal clear gospel. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died and He rose again. If you want to repent from your sin, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, like, we do not mess around. And it's just stunning. All right, next one. This lady here, she was healed from 12 years of blindness. One of the things we see as we minister is miracles, signs and wonders. And it was so fun because when I asked her, what is your name? She said, my name is Abigail. And that's my daughter's name. So it was very, very precious praying for her. She gave her life to the Lord and then she got healed. Next one there. Couple didn't come in. That's all right. This is this was the pastors and leaders conference that we held. So that's just pastors and leaders in the city. It was rather big. We call it the fire conference. And then afterwards we had others join us. So there were 1.2 million people that attended that gospel crusade over 4 evenings. Over 700,000 documented decisions for Jesus. So very special. All right, next one there. Have a look at that. So special. Next one. Wow. I want to encourage you, though, it's not just, these things aren't just happening in Nigeria. This was in Orlando, where I have been studying and now volunteering. I'm a voluntary missionary with Christ for All Nations. And we were holding an outreach, and this gentleman, his street name is Sticks. His real name is Willis. And Sticks came up to me and said, hey, how you doing? I heard you're doing an outreach. I'm not interested in your outreach, but I would love a hot dog. I hear you've got free hot dogs. That'd be great. I was just at the gas station or petrol station for us Aussies. Someone gave me an invitation to your outreach. I'm really not interested, but I'd love the hot dog. And I looked Sticks right in the eyes And I said, Styx, I got his name first. I said, Styx, where are you at with the Lord? Where are you at with the Lord? Well, my sister's a pastor. No. Where are you at with the Lord? Well, my mum was a believer. No, Styx, where are you at with the Lord? He says, it's not good. It's not good, Andrew. I said, all right, what are you going to do? He goes, I need to repent. I need to repent. And he grabbed me, and I've got video of it. I won't share it today, but he grabbed me and he held me for over 3 minutes. And he wept and he wept and he wept and he wept. When he came over to our house for dinner, see, we don't just catch fish. We clean them up. We bring them in. We make sure they get connected to the local church. When he came over to our house for dinner, do you know what he said? He said, I've just come out of prison. Over 30 years in prison. Just got a job. I'm on my way home from work. And then I get this flyer and now I've given my life to the Lord. Well, you see this next image here. This is Styx. We'll see if it'll come up at church. Didn't come in. That's all right. Styx, we'll just keep going. The next image or whatever's next. All right. So Styx made a decision for the Lord. Got baptized, and my wife was there for his baptism, and is now walking with Jesus, reconciled things with his wife, etc., etc. So I encourage you, the Lord is on the move, not just in Nigeria, the Lord is on the move in Western nations as well. This is the UK. This is my friend Kurt. The church he's preaching out the front of kicked us off their land because, you know, how dare we preach the gospel out the front of a church? That was interesting. Hallelujah. God bless you. They said, I don't care who you are, you're leaving. You're on my property. I said, oh, no worries. I just want you to know Jesus loves you. That really ticked him off. Anyway, so praise the Lord for churches that love Jesus and accept the love of Jesus. That one probably was struggling a little bit, but we prayed for them and blessed them. So this young man, Kurt, is preaching in the UK. So I just came back from the UK. We're running these things called fire camps, where over 10 days we raise up young evangelists. So we raise them up and we teach them how to preach a crystal clear gospel. We saw over 52 young people get raised up as evangelists. Kurt was one of them. Then we went out on the streets and for 2 days we preached on the streets in a town called Norwich. It's known for paganism and witchcraft. We had people up in our faces, Satan bless you, like going for it, you know. And we saw 313 documented decisions for Jesus in Norwich, UK over 2 days. Hallelujah. You can get excited about people getting saved. Next one, please, if we can. Thank you. That is a wheelchair of a lady who cursed us on the streets, said, you're putting people off. She called herself a Christian. She said, you're putting people off. This whole Jesus, like preaching on the streets, it doesn't work. What are you doing? This is, you know, this is a bad idea. Anyway, somehow she ended up coming to a church event we held that night for all the new believers, maybe to have another go at us, got miraculously healed, got out of her wheelchair, and then spent the rest of the service apologizing to everyone for telling us what we're doing would never work. All right, next one, please. This young guy, he gave his life to the Lord after his 17-year-old buddy got saved on the Thursday, then called all of his mates, said they're preaching again on Saturday. You've got to come on Saturday. You've got to hear this good news. His life was totally transformed. And as we're handing out the follow-up material, he's saying to his 17-year-old friends, you've got to read that book. It's changing my life. And it's a book all about who you are in Christ, get connected to a local church, how to pray, like the basics of Christianity. All right, next one. We'll see if they come in. Any more photos? If not, I'll tell you what just happened in Sydney and we'll leave it at that. Nope, we don't have any more. Hallelujah. All right, I just came back from Sydney. We raised up 32 young evangelists in Sydney on this fire camp. We took them out on the streets. Many of them had never preached the gospel before. And we saw 128 documented decisions for Jesus in just 2 days. I want to tell you, friends, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I've never gone on outreach and not seen people get touched by the Lord. The problem is not that people don't want the Lord. The problem is that no one's preaching the gospel. I'm using some hyperbole, but do you hear me? I'm telling you, friends, the world is more open than ever. My wife and I held a garage sale recently at our home in Mount Evelyn. The neighbours from across the street came over. I asked them, where are they at with the Lord? And they said, oh, I teach at Edinburgh, so kind of a little interested. Oh, I do this. And then they said this to me. They said, but I tell you what, if ever there's been a time in our lives where we're more open to Jesus and the gospel, it's now, because of all the chaos that has just happened. And they said, it's not just us, it's our friends as well. We're all more open to the gospel. This is from the mouths of people that would not call themselves Christians yet. Have some understanding. They said, we are all more open to the gospel now than ever before. So friend, I want to encourage you today. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord send more laborers out into the harvest, but be prepared to be the answer of your own prayer as well. Be prepared to be the answer of your own prayer as well. I'm so excited about heading back to the African continent, to Kenya. It's going to be stunning. And I'm so excited as well because I'm taking 4 other Australian evangelists that we just trained up in Sydney. Some of them never preached before. They're going to be a part of seeing over 200,000 people make a decision for Jesus. I'm telling you, it's Australia's time. He's going to keep raising us up for our nation, but he's also going to keep raising us up from our nation. And I was talking with my wife, and I said, oh, you know, I like preaching at churches, but I much prefer to preach out on the streets. I much prefer to preach out in the towns, the marketplaces. In Nigeria, we preached in one town. The whole village got saved, and it was a Muslim village. And when we looked the village chief in the eye and we said, are you sure you know what you're doing? He said, sir, I am 86 years old. It is time I give my life to the Lord. You know, I love to preach out in the markets. I love to preach out in the towns. I said, honey, you know, it's a bit of a challenge to preach in a church these days. I'm just being honest with you. She said, what if the next Reinhard Bonnke is sitting in that church? What if there's an evangelist just ready to be unleashed? So if I can inspire you today, if I can encourage you today, the field is waiting for you. The field is waiting for you. The Yarra Valley is waiting for you. Melbourne is waiting for you. Thailand is waiting for you. The field is ripe. Just this last week, we saw 2,349 decisions for Jesus in Thailand in Buddhist schools. I have pictures on my phone of young Buddhists, like dressed in the full orange gear, giving their lives to Jesus. The harvest is so ripe. The question is, where are the laborers and will they go? Will they go? Now you might say to me, Andrew, you're a little bit confrontational today. I hope you don't mind. There's a few things I like to do. There's a few things I don't like to do. Sharing the gospel is one of the things I don't like to do. Each to his own. Leave them alone. If they want to know, there's churches on every corner. They'll walk in. Nope, no one's walking in right now. So I will be a little bit confrontational because that word, pray the Lord would send, actually means thrust. It actually means like launch people into the harvest. So the picture, Matt, do you mind jumping up? Real quick, Matt Pilcher. Thank you. The imagery of that word send is more like this. Pray the Lord would, let go of me please, would thrust them, like send them out. Send them out. You can sit down, that's all right. I want you to get the imagery of that word. So I come here today, Reinhard Bonnke once said this, the evangelist's job is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comforted, the comfortable. You know, I hope you hear my heart, but the Lord is saying, who will go? Who will go? Who will go? And the Lord is also saying, who will send? Who will send? Matthew 25, if you have it, verse 14, there's the parable of the talents. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through the whole thing verse by verse. But basically, it's a parable that talks about people that have been given talent. Talent in this reference is finance. That have been given finance and then are entrusted to do something with it. The master comes back and they have this interaction with the master where the one who had five gets five more. You probably, if you grew up in the church, you know the story. The one who had two, he doubled it. But then there's one who was scared of the master and so therefore just buried the money and only returned to the master what was given. It says here, in verse 20, he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me five talents. Here I've made five talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Then down in 22, he also who had the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents here. I've made two talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. See, it's not about the amount. It's about, are we surrendering it over to the Lord to multiply it? It's not about, did you get five or did you get two? It's about, did you multiply? Did you multiply what I put in your hands? If we go back to verse 15, it says that he gave five talents to another, two to another, one, to each according to his ability. See, we all have different abilities. We all have different gifts. The Lord is not asking you to do something at a five if he's gifted you at a two, if that makes sense. Or to do something at a two if he's gifted you at a one. See, if you were to judge me as an evangelist, maybe you'd say, oh, wow, Andrew, you're a five. But if you were to judge me as a ballroom dancer, I'd be like a negative five. Like, I'm not, if you were to judge me, as a pastor, I think I'm okay as a pastor, maybe a two, but I'm more of an evangelist than I am a shepherd. Does that make sense? So we've been given talents. What are we going to do with our talents? This was not what I wanted to preach on today, but I felt the Lord say, Matthew 25, parable of the talents. That's where I want you to go. And I feel the Lord would encourage you today. What are you doing with what I've put in your hands? What are you doing with what I've put in your hands? What are you doing with the neighbors that are beside you? What are you doing with the gospel that is inside of you? What are you doing with what I've put in your hands? You may have heard this before, and don't get confused with the talent thing. It's just a way of putting it. But we all have time, talent, and treasures. So we all have time, we all have gifting, and we all have finance. What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our talent? What are we doing with our treasures? Friends, the Lord has gifted you for a purpose. He saved you for a purpose. And I'm here today to encourage you. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. I remember friends of mine, she worked at Coles and he worked training guide dogs. They're in Adelaide. They're the Van Rossens. Some of you may know of them. And Mark Van Rossen, he's got a beard to rival all beards. And Mark and Lorraine, they were friends of mine in Adelaide as a kid. They were like my heroes. I was a teenager and they were missionaries and all this. And I remember asking them, like, how did you get into mission work? And they said, well, I was working at Coles. My husband was training guide dogs. And we made some inquiries. We just thought, look, we'll just ask some questions. And we found out that in Papua New Guinea, there was a missions agency that needed someone to oversee the warehouse for all the food and all the distributions that go out to the missionaries in Papua New Guinea, and that the national police really needed someone to train up their police dogs. So we were like, okay, there's our visa, and there's our mission to support all these missionaries, and they moved over to Papua New Guinea with their family. See, we go, well, I just work at Coles, what do I have to offer? And I want to encourage you, whatever it is that you're doing, the Lord can use it. Whatever your background is, the Lord can use it. Now, is it always going to be overseas? No. The Lord cares about the Yarra Valley. The Lord cares about the Yarra Ranges. There is an incredible harvest to be had right here. Of course, I'm passionate about the nations, but I encourage you to lean in for your nation as well. Some of us need to stand up where we grew up. We need to believe God for incredible things here in Australia. Are we okay? Are we good? I'm watching your face. I don't know whether I'm going to get stoned. When we're in Nigeria, I kid you not, when we're in Nigeria, the debate one time while I was preaching was, do we kill him or do we kidnap him? That was the debate. I was like, awesome. I called my wife. I said, honey, if ever I'm going to die, it's going to be on this trip. She was like, all right, well, I love you. My wife, I just want to take a moment just to honor my wife. She is incredible. She is incredible. And I'm telling you right now, the things of the kingdom will cost you. If we're going to share in his glory, we have to be willing to share in his suffering. That's scripture. The things of the kingdom will cost you, but the reward, the reward to see these young people come to know the Lord. To a friend of mine, he just donated, he was in Alaska. I told you I was $1,000 in debt. We got out of debt, praise the Lord. Because a friend of mine donated, he said, Andrew, you've got the highest soul per dollar ratio that I know of all of my friends, and I want to be a part of it. And so he sowed in. The reward you get when you give your time, when you give your talent, when you give your treasure is beyond anything this world could ever offer. Beyond anything this world could ever offer. I want to close with a story and I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning. Is that okay? Are we okay? I'm like, really can't read this room. Bless the Lord. Lord, help me. Anyone feeling a little disturbed? Yes, good. All right, I got at least one. I'm trying to disturb you this morning. All right, yes, good. Anyone feeling a little bit inspired, motivated? Yes, good. Okay, that's even better. I like to disturb people to action, not just disturb them to a reaction. You know, so that's all good. A lot of us, we ask the question, why doesn't my Christianity work? I don't know if you ever have asked that, but when I talk with people and I say, how many of you believe you should share your faith? Because I do evangelism training all around the country. And every hand goes up, and then I say, how many of you regularly share your faith? And about 10% of the hands stay up. And then I say, how many of you led someone to the Lord? And I get about 7% of those 10% have ever led someone to the Lord. And so we have this huge gap, and I ask people, why do we have a gap? And they always say one of two things. Number one, we have a gap because I just don't know how to share the gospel. And if that's you, I'd love to help train you in sharing the gospel. We can do that. Or I can send someone to help you with that. Or I can point you to resources that will help you with that. But the number two reason is that people give me is the gospel doesn't work in my life. So why would I share it with others? They're just being super real, super raw. What they mean is I've still got addictions. I've still got unforgiveness. I've still got bitterness. I've still got this mentality that, and so what am I going to give them really? And friends, I want to break the back of that second thing right now. We can learn skills, but the Lord has to give us his heart. Does that make sense? You can learn how to preach the gospel. That's, you go on YouTube, you get a simple gospel presentation. But we have to give him everything so he can work through us. As long as we don't give him everything, we don't see the power flow in the way that it could. So I'll tell you a quick story of a man, and he had a mansion, and the mansion had 10 rooms in it. You may have heard this story before, you may not have, but I want you to see yourself in the story. This man, he had this incredible mansion with 10 rooms in it. And one day, he got a knock on his door. He opened the door, and to his surprise, there at the door stood the devil. Oh my gosh, he said, the devil? Oh no, what am I going to do? And the devil, as he does, if we give him just a little foothold, he'll take the whole place. The devil stuck his foot in this guy's door. He said, oh, no, no, no. And the next thing you know, he'd opened the door and the devil came into this man's house. He began to kick him and punch him and tempt him. He hit him with pornography, with unforgiveness, with all sorts of manner of temptations, with self-hate, with self-righteousness, with all this stuff. And the man ended the night beat up, bruised and broken on the ground. As he woke up the next day, he heard another knock on the door. He was terrified. Oh no, the devil is back. As he opened the door, do you know who it was? That's right. This time, I'm glad these young people are listening. We need the faith of a child if we want to see the kingdom come. This time, kids, it was Jesus. Jesus was standing at the door. He said, hello, sir. I heard you've had a bit of trouble. May I come in? Yes, absolutely. I'd love you to come in. So Jesus came. He said, oh, this is going to be so beneficial. If the devil comes back, I've got Jesus in my house. So he said, I've got a guest room up in the corner. If you could stay there, I'd really appreciate it. Well, that night, the man was lying in his bed and he heard another knock. He got up. He thought, oh my, this is not good. He came to the door. He thought, hopefully it's like Holy Spirit. Maybe it's the Father. I've got Jesus in here, so we'll see. He opens it. It's the devil again. The devil swings the door open, kicks him again with temptation, smashes him with all the things he's holding on to that he won't hand over to God, punches him with a little bit of lust and a little bit of anger and a little bit of slothfulness. Oh, the man is beaten up. He falls on the ground, exhausted. The next morning, he hears, it's Jesus. He's coming down the stairs. Jesus, where were you last night? The devil came again and he beat me up. Oh, well, sir, you see, it's not my house. And that which you own, you must defend. I was in the guest room. I didn't want to take over your responsibilities. Jesus, this is not good. Right, here's the deal. I'm going to give you 5 rooms. I'll keep 5 rooms. We'll go 50-50. And just if you could have my back, that'd be great. That night, he was lying in bed and there was another knock on the door. Who do you think it was? That's right, kids. It was the devil. And the devil came in again. You know the story. Wham, bam, whack, crash. He wakes up in the morning. He hears Jesus coming down. Bacon and eggs for breakfast, thank you. Actually, no, not bacon, probably. mushrooms and eggs. He's like, mushroom and eggs, thank you. That'd be great. And he says, Jesus, where were you last night? The devil came again and he beat me up. Oh, so sorry. That's not my house. That which you own, you must defend. I didn't want to take over your responsibilities. The man said, all right, I get it. I get it. I get it. He pulled out his keys and he handed them to Jesus. He says, the house is yours. Which room do you want me to stay in? Whatever you want, I'll do. That night he's lying in bed and he's under the covers. He's terrified because it's happened every night and once again. Oh, it's the devil, that's right. As he gets up out of bed to come and answer the door, all of a sudden he gets pushed to the side. Jesus is standing right there. He opens the door and the devil, standing ready to attack, takes a step back and another step and another step. And he says, please forgive me, for I have come to the wrong address. My friends, Jesus is asking you, imploring you to give him everything. Maybe you're here and you're not yet a Christian. Jesus wants to save you. How does he save you? Well, the Bible says that Jesus died. On the 3rd day, he rose again. All you have to do is believe. He died for your sins. He died for your sins. Everything that separated you from God, he took it upon himself on the cross. All you have to do is believe that he died for your sin and for my sin. And the second thing you must do is repent. You've got to turn from your evil ways and you've got to come back to God. Maybe you're here and you're not yet a Christian, but today's your day and you know you need to give Jesus everything. If that's you, I'm asking you to respond today. Maybe you grew up in church, you know about God, but you don't know God. You don't have a real relationship with God. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, today's the day. I want to invite you to lift your hand if that's you so I can see it. I can pray for you. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with God, you know that if you were to die right now, you would not be saved. You would be stuck in your sin. You would be damned. And you want to have that relationship with God. If that's you, just lift your hand right now. I'll see it. I'll acknowledge it. I'll celebrate with you and I'll pray for you. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Andrew, I've already given my life to the Lord. Thank you very much. I've said the prayer. But if I'm honest, I have kept some rooms to myself. If I'm honest, I said yes to Jesus, but don't ever send me to that nation. If I'm honest, I said yes to Jesus, but don't ever ask me to give up that addiction. If I'm honest, I've said yes to Jesus, but don't ever ask me to forgive that person. If I'm honest, I've said yes to Jesus, but that room is mine and he's not having it. Today, my friends, is an opportunity for you to burn with the love and the power of God. I believe there's a fresh encounter in this room so that we can say, I am a believer. I am an evangelist. I carry the gospel. That we would go out. The scripture talks about boldly approach the throne of grace. You can't afford to have a thought about yourself you don't have about Jesus. What do I mean by that? As he is, so are you in this world. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't have a lust problem. If you are righteous, if you are as he is, lust is on the outside seeking to come in to destroy you. It's not on the inside. Now I'm going into a whole nother message, but my point is this. We need that confidence, and that confidence comes from saying, I'm all in, Lord, I'm all yours, and I'm holding nothing back. So if you're here right now, I really believe we need to do some business with the Lord. Where are you at with the Lord? Oh, my mum, oh, my wife, oh, my sister. That's not the question this morning. The question this morning is, where are you at with the Lord? And if you know you need to get right with God, you know there's things you've held back. He wants to set you ablaze. He wants to set you ablaze. But you need to respond in faith and say, Lord, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you everything. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. So if you're here right now and you would say, I just need to do some business with the Lord. As you've been speaking, yes, you've made me uncomfortable, Andrew, but the Holy Spirit has been convicting me. And I need to give a few things over to the Lord. If that's you, I want to invite you actually to come forward. I want to invite you to come forward and if you can, kneel at the front. Now, some of you might say, oh, Andrew, it's nearly midday. I don't have time to repent. I've got to go have lunch. You might need to give that room over to the Lord.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.